Welcome back to this week's episode of 321 Go Podcast. We're joined for the second part of how to start a sports program with Tex and Luke from Power Athlete. So if you haven't listened to part one yet, head back to last week, listen to that show before this one. In this, we're going to continue our conversation about how you can begin to think about starting a sports-specific off-season training plan in your gym. So we talk about how to approach this from a networking standpoint, from a coaching, and even a little bit of programming stuff in here as well. So as I said last week, I would recommend having one of your coaches or your head coach listen to this as well, because there are some great coaching cues in here. So a big thanks to Tex and Luke from Power Athlete for coming on the show. Follow them, powerathletehq.com. They also have a podcast that I would recommend subscribing and listening to if sports-specific training is something that interests you at all. Also this week, we're going to try something new, so stay tuned for the entire episode, because at the end of this episode, what I've begun to do is compile a lot of the questions that people send me, either via Facebook message or email, and I'm going to start answering those questions on air. Typically, I don't have the time to sit out and type out as well of a thought-out response as I would like to, just because a number of questions I receive through the podcast are so many. So what I'm going to start doing is just answering some of these as sort of a rapid-fire Q&A at the end of this. So stay tuned to the very end. We're going to do our first-ever rapid-fire Q&A with our listener questions. As a reminder, this week's episode is brought to you by Icon Athlete Affiliate Programming. If you want to follow what Chris Spieler's got going on over there, go to iconathlete.com/321go. We'll see you next week.
Now, I was going to say, back in the day with the educational resources, a lot of people's first exposure to strength and conditioning was CrossFit. And so everything they learned was from the level one, the two-day seminar. So the communication was the same. But now we have a lot of different resources, a lot of different opportunities for coaches. But it's all saying practically the same thing. Mm-hmm. You know, bilateral hip hinge, unilateral movement, freaking explosive full hip extension, right? And it's just people find a better way to say it that for their particular athletes, everybody's different. So they think that's the way, like you talked about earlier. But there's a difference when you take your 150 gym member space where everything works that you do, and then you try to implement that into 100 different other facilities. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit different.
I think that you guys, I think, have really hit on these unifying principles, though, of the 10%. Like you just said, Tex, it's we're getting on message, right? You know, the question I get asked all the time from people that own gyms is like, hey, I feel something needs to change. I don't know what that first thing is. And I think you guys just identified those first things. You know, it's really getting your team to circle the wagon on a particular message. And then from there, build in some type of ownership, like not ownership like you're giving equity away, but ownership of I own this process, I own this message, I own my class, bonus structure, incentives, fair and reasonable pay. And I think that those are kind of the things that we think about as gym owners. You want something to change, that's where you start. I think you think about the secret shopper thing, like you guys are talking about. What would you want is, if you guys are going to walk into any gym, is any random person that first greets you going to be on message with what you guys are all about? I think you nailed it there. There's one thing I want you guys to wrap up on, because I think this is a really interesting principle. And the affiliate owner has a lot of different athletes in their gym. It's, you know, there's the fire breather athlete that's like, hey, I'm a little bit faster than everybody, and I feel I need to do things that are special for that. You've got sports-specific people that are training with you in the off season. You've got stay-at-home moms. You've got super busy people. You've got all these different people in your gym, and I think the gym owner struggles with, how do I serve all of these people? And in looking at some of the things that you guys talk about, there's an interesting model that I would like you guys to explain to our listeners, because I find it really fascinating. If we could all just envision from our CrossFit level one, the sort of hierarchy of fitness, this pyramid, you know, nutrition, metabolic conditioning, weightlifting, that ends in sport is sort of the top of it. I think we tend to talk about sport last. We talk about the top of that pyramid as sort of an afterthought to all the other things. But I noticed that you guys, I'm going to use this little, I made a drawing. I don't know if you guys can see it. But you guys sort of said that this peak of the pyramid is goal. And I like the way that you guys frame this discussion of, here's your goal. This is what we're after. Now let's build up the pyramid. So I want you guys to explain this principle a little bit better than I have right now. I'm sure you guys know what I'm referring to, but explain this idea to the affiliate owners so they can maybe have a template for dealing with all these varied goals from within their gym.
Take it, Tex.
So this is what we refer to as the SAID principle, S-A-I-D.
Specific adaptations to impose demands.
And so, again, like I said, I enjoy sport because the goal is there. It's built in. So it allows a coach to reverse engineer a program and allow them to peak come in season at the right moments, the right time. So the challenge for the CrossFit gym owner is all those different populations, but we need to find a common ground. So for most, it's going to be fitness. So if the peak, the sport is going to be general physical preparedness, or it could be we have a strength program, or we have a strength beginning portion of each class, but you have to reverse engineer your whole program towards one goal, really. So the rest of the pyramid kind of leads up to that goal, and this may help in kind of breaking that down for the different populations, but reverse engineering from the top down, we have speed, right? So we talk about, when we refer to speed, we're talking about squatting, deadlifting, sprinting, change of direction. Everything we want our athletes to do is going to be as fast as they can. What dictates speed, though, is weight.
Mm-hmm.
So this will be, you know, show us a slow Olympic lift, right? So we want our athletes to just have a mindset of train fast, be fast, because in the world of sports, speed is king. So we still want our athletes to move as fast as possible when we're dealing with kind of a 45-year-old woman.
Because the ability, here's the thing about speed, is the ability to go faster is primarily a neural ability with excitation and relaxation, coordination. And those things are essential for longevity. You see people bind up doing the same shit, repetitive submaximal movement patterns that don't require relaxation. Think about that. Because you bind up and you go at a slow or a medium pace and you just go. And that is going to train everything to do that always. Because there's lots and lots of reps to get fit, right? I mean, there are. But when you start working different intensities, you need to kind of imagine like a, you know, turning up the volume or, you know, the bass on your car stereo to make sure that the fucking that new Timberlake jam is bumping just right. Like then all of a sudden Sia comes on, you might turn it down. You know what I'm saying? So like that's the modulation of kind of tension that you need to create, is that true coordinative ability to relax and excite. And that's why speed is important, right? And that's for, there's a performance base. Like, listen, if you're playing baseball and you're an outfielder, you want to be fast as fuck, right? But if you don't play sports and you're just trying to get fit, why do you want to be fast? I just want to have abs. I just want to know, you know?
Well, we can get into speed reserve.
Yeah.
Because you never fucking know when you're going to have to call upon that to save a family member, or there's a stressful situation. There's a freaking, you know, attack or something. You got to have it in your back pocket.
So I don't know. That was my diversion on speed. And then, then we go into our barbell and Olympic lifts, right? Just the core of the program.
Keystone.
Right. Thank you, Tex. Keystone. Cause cores remind us of apples, and we don't want to be referred to as apples because round and plump. But it's keystone of the program. And that's where we're going to develop the foundation with the barbell lifts, the foundation that we build everything off of, which is strength. Strength isn't the answer. It's the foundation. And the stronger the person, the more ability we can build on top, right? And then we like to say strength is on an island without our ability to display it dynamically, which brings us to these Olympic lifts. And these are like the shit you should be doing every day. And for athletes out there, coaches who are former athletes, think of just the same skills and drills you've been doing since Little League, since Pop Warner football. That stuff lasts forever. That's the barbell and Olympic lifts, right? They always need to be a part of the program because they're the best way to overload and train our seven primal movement patterns.
So I'd like to just pause on that, the Keystone barbell and Olympic lifts. So CrossFit's done an interesting thing by putting time caps to different workouts, and then the objective is to get more reps in, more reps in that time. But when we talk about sport, right, it's the moments, the instances where we have to call upon it, strength, power, and speed for one. So when we focus about this block, we are looking to increase the top end for those ones, strength and power. So that also, in turn, increases the athlete's work capacity, because the higher our top end gets, then the easier and more efficient and proficient the rest of it gets. So a little different perspective, and based off, you know, the clientele we're working with, it works for both.
Yeah, both. Well, here's a quick story time on this, Matt. Years ago, John had us follow what we're calling the Power Athlete Bulgarian template, which will never come out because it will put you in a fucking loony bin. But needless to say, we did it. And there was absolutely no conditioning. It was hitting singles and a couple drop sets, push, pull, press, or squat, push, pull every day, 7 days a week for 21 weeks. Okay. And it was, it's all high intensity shit, and it's a lot of failed movements. And, you know, the movement selection was our seven primal movements. So we would squat, step, lunge, push, pull vertically, push, pull horizontally. Right. And again, 21 weeks, no conditioning, none. Okay. And, after this 21 weeks at the gym, we had Fran. It was just like Friday, Fran day. Let's crush some souls for 3 minutes and then to spend the next 40 minutes drinking beer and barbecuing, right? So that was the plan. So me and Ben, my training partner at the time, who now runs CrossFit Balboa, had done no condo and go in to do this Fran thing. And throughout this Bulgarian program, my squat went up from 365 to maybe 450. Right? My press went from 185 to 221 and a half, right? Wow. Which is a shoe on half the, on one side of the bar.
Counts.
Yeah. it's a shoe on one side of the bar, and you switch your grip over two fingers. So, so there you go. Right. And then we had just been doing max strict pull-ups as much as we can, no condo. But since that ability and that capacity or capability had risen, you know, Ben did a fucking Fran 211 and I did it in 231. Mm-hmm. And this is like minutes off of what I was able to do back then with no fucking conditioning. But it's about neural efficiency, economy of movement, increasing your ability, right?
And the speed that we started with. So
right.
It's not just grinding through reps, then you're not going to get shape. But, your heart rate's going to get jacked if you are pushing and trying to move as fast as you can. Mm-hmm. So we then...
That's why we would hit the drop sets on this template. Right? So it's work up to a heavy single, drop it down, and you're doing speed work that day. So heavy pull, as heavy as you can, drop it down, speed work every day. Mm-hmm. So anyways, sorry, Tex, today.
The next next triangle over, we're going to have to put this triangle or the pyramid in the show
most
notes.
Certainly.
Yeah, to give the visual. But the next one connected to the keystone is body awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And if we talk about sport, it's really offensive lineman for perspective. You are in a 1 yard box. That's where you live. And if you don't know where that 1 yard box is, then you're going to mess up your responsibility and the guy to your right and left. So we aim to increase our athlete's body awareness. For a soccer player, it's separating their eyes from their feet. You know, being able to feel the ball on your feet so you can keep your head up and read the field.
Mm-hmm.
Same with freaking point guard.
Infielders, you know, laterally moving, knowing exactly where the bag is without, you know, it's the instinct.
Goalies in the cage.
Yeah, goalies in the cage.
So we aim to master all of our primal movement patterns through all planes of motion. So if we look at, if you're a CrossFit gym owner and you get athletes in there, you got to introduce these two things that are called the frontal plane and the transverse plane that are essential in sports and an athlete's ability to separate their shoulders from their hips, twist and rotate.
Now, to bridge the gap to why the fuck would a GPP person need this, your housewife, my mom, this, it improves hippocampal ability. So relying on your vision and staying coordinated, right? Moving through different planes of motion, it improves coordinative ability, which then allows you to get a higher training effect out of your training. So you ultimately get fitter. Again, raising the bar by simply exposing your nervous system to new stimulus.
And we're looking at a revolution of the sport of fitness because introduced for the first time ever in the 2017 Open was the transverse plane.
Mm-hmm. That's rotation, people.
Rotation over that box in 17.1. And guess what fucked people up? No matter what their work capacity was, the stress of a new plane of motion just fucked everything up.
Mm-hmm.
Really interesting perspective on that, because I think that that's one where we saw kind of the fittest, I'm using quotation marks right now, the fittest people in our gyms kind of shit the bed on that first workout. And it was, but that's an interesting perspective that you bring as to why. Not necessarily out of difficulty, because at its core, nothing in that was difficult, but the introduction of a new plane changed the game on that one.
And the reference is you just walking upstairs, your body, or a burpee, your body is changing planes of motion. It is harder on our central nervous system, and our heart's got to work a hell of a lot harder to move.
Mm-hmm. So, and I had something, like honestly the most brilliant shit to say in the world, and I forget already. It'll come back to me. Tex, what's the next block on the pyramid?
It's one down, and this is where we should spend some time. This is what we refer to as limiting factors. So it's not what our athletes can do. It's what they can't do, because it's going to cost them games. It's going to cost them that 17.1, right? So we have to perform an honest assessment for our athletes to identify where they're limiting in their movement, what exactly it's limiting that movement. Is it the ankle? Is it the calf? If our athlete has ankle issues, guess what we're not going to do? Squat in Olympic lifting shoes, because you work around limiting factors. And the moment that you have to call upon that, or it's exposed on the field, on the court, in training, you're going to fail. And I don't care what your bench press or your squat is, you will get exposed. And if teams see that, they're going to keep coming after you. So we give our athletes an honest look at themselves and their performance. And quite honestly, I've had a lot of athletes that accept it. They want to get better. Hey, tell me what to do. And others that just say, no, I'm going to keep doing what I'm good at. Or you don't know what you're talking about, even though we've exposed something. So that limiting factors, where we attack it, is our warm-up, as Luke alluded to earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So that's our opportunity for movement therapy over time. Because guess what the one consistent is workout in training is? Your warm-up. Mm-hmm. And it's the most coachable time that a coach has, right? It's low stress. You know, we're hanging out. We're more attuned to listen to what that coach has to say, and our athletes, you know, they're not thinking about the music, they're not thinking about pushing on the bar
or the time or beating their friend, or you know, which reps are they going to shave and cut because they're fucking rep cutters.
Yeah, so it's the most opportune time that a coach has in that 1 hour class.
And that's not to say that the warm-up is the only thing attacking limiting factors. It's the most opportune. The whole training, that's why it's at the close to the base of the pyramid, is everything's about identifying and addressing limiting factors. And, you know, my contention, which I will weave into the statement I so elegantly forgot.
Can you forget elegantly?
I have.
I'm just stalling so you try to forget again.
Oh, thanks, Tex. Is that, you know, bridging the gap to limiting factors is, I guarantee for your athletes, you listeners, everybody in a CrossFit gym, in a private, you know, micro box, you might even be some big wig coach. I don't know. I would venture to bet that the training setup you have for your classes lends itself to what we would call our primal X, which is a bilateral hip hinge. This is your squat, your thruster, your kettlebell swing, 2 feet on the ground, hips close and open. Vertical pull on a pull-up bar. You're pulling up and down, chin up, vertical pull, you call it. Vertical press, these are dips. This is push press. This is a push jerk, pushing the bar up and down over your head, right? I would venture to bet that at least 80% of your volume, agnostic to load, 80% of your volume is patterning those movements. And by doing that and having a disproportionate amount of volume in these particular movement patterns versus step-ups, lunges, horizontal pulling and pushing, that's a big one right now with all these pec tears. By having disproportionate amounts of volume, you are ultimately digging your athlete into a ditch, when new shit comes up.
Or a new standard of movement, which we're seeing with the pec tears and the dips and the regionals.
Right. So, coach, it is quite possible because of your lack of understanding of what we would call our primal movements, which are the fundamental movement patterns that make up all training movement, competitive sport movement, shit, human movement across the three planes of motion. You are digging your athletes into a ditch and really burying them, you know, like creating these limiting factors. And it's, hey, listen, it's not your fault. If you're listening to me and you're like, fuck, this is me. This is what I do. It's not your fault. I understand.
Goodwill Hunting.
Yeah. It's not your fault. because that's the struggle of class training. Like if we wanted you to run a shuttle, every fucking athlete to run a shuttle drill during a Metcon, like it's not happening. There's just literally there's logistical issues. And this is what we talk about at the sports specific application seminar. It's taking CrossFit classes. How do you improve athleticism with the CrossFit class environment? And that's the program we created. Hence sports specific application of CrossFit, which is a mouthful and confusing, but at least now your listeners know, Matt. So I guess the point I'm making is, you know, going back to what Tex said, you know, people will be like, oh no, we do walking lunges. Well, how frequently, you know, like the program that we write, you're lunging almost every day. You're stepping or lunging every day in combination with your squats, right? You're hitting all planes of motion, everything every day. So Tex, pick up where I'm so eloquently leaving off.
Training. Especially the sport of fitness, it gives you the illusion of preparedness. So when you give your life, dedicating it to an entire year, and even though you are fitter, stronger than you were last year, you step into the open and guess what?
Unprepared.
You get found out. And it's the worst feeling in the world as a strength and conditioning coach being on the sideline during a game mm-hmm. and an athlete is overpowered, outrun, despite their training, despite their conditioning test, despite their numbers, and you know who they're looking at? The strength coach. And I don't want that feeling for any coach. I don't want that feeling for any athlete. So that's why we value this limiting factors block so much, because we need athletes to basically humble themselves at the door. We don't want it to be just a saying. We want it to be true. And we're going to force it on you during the warm up with limiting factors by having you squat toes forward, by doing different variations of dips, overhead pulls, mm-hmm. horizontal pulls, so that way we can find out what you can't do. In training, and when we have time for movement therapy, we're not going to find it out during competition when you should be peaking performance and you are just sitting there with the worst feeling in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I want to bring this full circle because I love this idea of limiting factors. I love the idea in the warm-up. I'll share with you guys a story. I recently went and spoke to one of the largest commercial construction firms in the country. And on injuries. And we're talking about like just repetitive use injuries. And I floated this idea by them of a warm up. And I sort of told them, hey, if I coach a Saturday morning class, we do big hero workouts on Saturday mornings at 9. And the first thing that I instruct my coaches to do is like get everybody in a circle and have them do somewhat complicated movement patterns, look them in the eyeball, and you'll know the three people that are hungover. And then approach those three people and say, hey, bro, like tone it down today. I you know what I mean? I can tell you are not tracking. And
yeah.
So I love this idea that you guys are talking about of using the warm-up. That is the most, I can't remember the term that you used, Luke, but
coachable.
Coachable, yeah. Most opportune time right there. Think about, you know, and then carry this over to the business side of things. Who is doing that? You want to talk about, mm-hmm. I'm in a crowded marketplace. Somebody else opened a gym down the street from me. Well, guess what? Probably like 4% of your crowded marketplace are using their warm-up as this opportune coaching opportunity. Do that tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Teach your coaches how to do that tomorrow. That is a distinguishing factor in your business.
Yeah, man. You know, I went I moved out of Chicago, which is where the gym I started at was for a couple of years, and then moved to Newport Beach. Got my ass kicked in terms of realizing how little I fucking knew, you know, and in terms of like severe training methods, much like this Bulgarian program. Long story short, 2 years later, I'm on the seminar staff and I book a seminar at my home gym, and I roll back there, right? And the place is clean, new equipment. right? Excited to see some of my old members attending. They're excited to see what I've been up to. You see it's like some power athlete CrossFit football paraphernalia. People are wearing the shirt. The programming looks resemblant of hard, heavy, and fast. And because we had all gone to the seminar together, right? And so I drop in for the class to come train. And it's the same fucking warm-up that I've wrote up 4 years ago on a dry erase board before I knew any better. 10 pass-throughs, 10 overhead squats, 10 box jumps, 10 sit-ups, 100-meter run, 3 rounds. You know what I mean? And it was like I went up there and I raced it. And I went to the coaches because it was just something we likened the seminar back then to drinking out of a fire hose. And some will probably still liken the seminar to that. We did not fucking get it. Mm-hmm. You know, the staff didn't get it. I learned it after being on the CERT staff and working at Balboa and being mentored that, you know, like this became such a pivotal part. But it didn't – when we went to that seminar in 2009, 2010, we didn't pick up on it. You know, because there was so much other shit that we had changed. It was mostly programming based, but we didn't pick up on that whiteboard. That's this warm-up is just, you know, we could call that our pre-warm-up warm-up, but I know that's what wasn't what it was, right? It wasn't just getting your chili hot text. It was the fact that we fucking blew it.
I just had an epiphany.
Oh.
I guess where I got it, I was forced to because my responsibilities for my team, literally the day after I take this, the CrossFit football seminar in 2009, yeah, do the warm-ups. So I did all the shit that we learned, and I had an opportunity to, I guess, see where it like, fit together right, or right, failed right. immediately. Mm-hmm. And that's what we tell people with the seminar now. It is a two-day learning experience, which is not the ideal model, but we say the best way to learn this is to implement it tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many people do.
Yeah, I don't know if anyone's listening. Listen, if you want to go to the seminar, let me tell you what you're in for. Hilarious jokes. I mean, especially if I'm there. If you're there, like, be ready to nap if Tex is leading it. But if I'm there, you're going to have a fucking blast. If you're with Tex, you know, he'll probably give you things that rhyme that won't catch on like that everything that has, though. But anyways, to the real shit. You know, we put a program in a box that leverages CrossFit principles. That's it. And it's literally turnkey. But what I like to say is you will at the very minimal create your own. Wait, how do I say this? We give you the chocolate filling.
Thin candy shell.
And then you put your thin candy shell on it. Right. And so
brain's got a thin candy shell.
Your head's got shell on it. So like in the narrative I just gave, you know, the shell that we put together, the candy treat, was programming based. And, you know, I'll tell you what, you go 4 or 5 times and you're going to keep creating like a more sound and sound philosophy. I guess what I'm getting at is, what was I saying, Tex? Oh yeah. So what we've done is this 16-hour course, 2 days, we decided to go down and distill it and simplify it and put it in an online format that now takes fucking like 3 months to complete.
Well, go at your own pace.
Yeah. It's at your own pace. But it's like because I've taken it multiple times, we've tested it multiple times, and in order for someone to understand a fraction of the information that we cover at the seminar, Matt, a fraction of it takes 3 months. You know what right. I mean? So we're like, this has just kind of come out in the last week, and we're thinking like, fuck, this seminar is just way too much for people. People aren't ready for this thing, and that's not to scare people away from it because I promise you, the reviews are stellar in the sense that people will always you will get something. I promise you, there's something there for you, regardless of your discipline.
In person is always very high quality, no matter where you're going.
So, I don't know. That's just kind of my narrative on that. You know, it's an interesting opportunity to afford your coaches. And what we have done with people who have really become wed to our training system, you know, some people go and they just kind of use that sliver, right? The Jeet Kune Do model. They have their core philosophy. They find elements that are useful for their clientele, their facility, and their training philosophy, and they incorporate it. And then we absolutely support that. We're not claiming to be the only system out there. This is exercise, people. I'm going to let you in on a secret. Everything fucking works, but nothing works forever. So you need to have that base of core principles for you and your staff, right?
Go ahead.
And if the high schooler, if Neo, if the one walks through your door,
the one.
We cannot recommend doing, you know, 20-minute Metcons if this kid's playing football or basketball.
Yeah.
Or lacrosse.
Right.
Or tennis.
Because fitness and athleticism, while they have a symbiotic relationship, they are interrelated. There is a level of GPP required to survive the training, to continue to improve athleticism. If you tip the scale too far in fitness, you will slow your athlete down and you will affect, you will certainly affect their ability to be athletic. Going back to 10 minutes ago, if you're also doing these chippers and these finite movement patterns, you're going to restrict their movement ability. This is not a bash on the CrossFit. Trust me, it's not. So Tex and I are very clear, and let me just go ahead and say, CrossFit is done for this country, at least this world, more than any of the other traditional, like, you know, fucking any fitness program is done, right? But it's also created, you know, the false positives you talked about, Matt, that, oh my God, I need my kid to Murph every day so he can survive the fourth quarter. And it's just like, you got to kind of be able to delineate.
Fourth quarter speed. So
certainly. I like to end every show with a sort of wrap up, as you said, Tex, what we want you to do from the seminar is start implementing it tomorrow. I'm a firm believer, and I say it at the end of every show, listener, you don't need more knowledge. You need to start enacting the knowledge that you do have. So I want to circle this around to a little bit of a so what and wrap up the conversation this way. I can't remember who it was, if it was Luke or Tex that said this at the very beginning. I believe that the affiliate is very well suited to speak to the needs of the off-season strength and conditioning needs of many sports-specific athletes. That is a very tough conversation to have with head coaches. So somebody said something along the lines of volunteer, engage, scratch an itch. So what's our so what from there?
Well, the fact is you just got to build trust. So if this – what month are we even in?
June.
So summer camp is starting, right? Did Carl write that blog?
Yeah, it's up.
That was like 2 years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Fuck. Listen, people, I'm basically a moron. We have a blog on Power Athlete HQ called Starting a Summer Camp, right? Realistically, you're a couple weeks behind, so we kind of fucked that up, Matt. But I guess the so what behind it is find a program that works. And by works, I mean is focused on bigger, stronger, faster. These kids don't need to get in better shape.
Less is more.
Less truly is more.
And tap into your network. Yes. Ask who's got teenagers. Ask who's got middle schoolers. We're maybe not ready for weightlifting, but they will be.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So just keep them in the back pocket, in the back of the mind, because if you're going to be running this program for years to come, that's your future clientele. Yeah, find coaches. Just start knocking on doors, kind of meet and greet people, and just find a way in, because it's based off of relationships. If someone can connect you, whose life was changed by you as a coach, that's going to speak more than you actually going, driving up to the high school and knocking on doors.
Could not agree with you more. You listener, probably train a parent of a kid and have changed their life. That's your in. There's no secret recipe. You've changed somebody's life that has a voice in that world. Find that person.
That's right. And I guess going back to less is more, I cannot stress that enough. How you change that person, that parent's life, is not how you change that child's life, right? And don't expect year one to be some sort of financial Goliath. The narrative of Carl, who wrote this blog that please go read, I believe is 2 years kind of pro bono, right? Third year, scored a rugby club. Fourth year, scored that rugby club again. Private athletes and a softball team. And now all of a sudden you're establishing a segment of revenue that is contributing to the profitability of the gym. And so there's some sweat equity that's going to have to go in. But the nice thing, like, if that's kind of irking you as a coach, which maybe it is, like, I don't fucking work for free. That's what I would say, at least. It is rewarding. Youth sports is one of the most rewarding things to empower. I mean, because these kids are truly passionate about it. They're malleable. They may be fucking punks on their iPhones or whatever, but if you can get them in the gym and get them to want it, it'll be, and you can go watch them play. It's fucking rewarding, man. I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it.
I will give you an anecdote on that front of of 2 years for free pro bono. We had some players' wives coming in, and we were training players' wives, and unknowingly, mm-hmm. these are players' wives, and I and my coaches began to learn phrases in their native tongues, in Portuguese and Spanish, and then next thing I know, a year or two of doing that, next thing you know, off season comes along, guess who's coming on the door? Like, it's the opportunities mm-hmm. that you don't see, but if you're providing kick-ass service to everybody, that will get spread. There's no magic email template that you send to some GM of a team. It's kick-ass service. It's the common denominator that will give you a successful business with or without sports-specific athletes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I want to move on. Our next so what. I've got two more so whats that I want to hit on. The warm-up. For some reason, that just sat with me. I remember taking my CrossFit Level 2, and we do like a heavy lifting day, and there was a 2-rep max hang clean or something along those lines. I remember having been given the best warm-up of my life in that. All planes of motion, all different things. I was sweaty. I did no mobility, so to speak, but I felt damn good. And I remember the experience and the energy in that warm-up was like, holy shit, we were leaving so much on the table by not capitalizing on this time. So sort of my second so what, our takeaway from this episode, is kick ass in your warm-up, both from a safety standpoint and as a way to provide an exceptional experience.
Yeah, and along those lines, we always say the best mobility is moving well.
Yes.
And that moving well takes reps. So that's not just, you know, hooking a band up and doing something cold. It's actually learning how to control your body through all planes of motion.
Could not agree more. Something to add, Luke?
Oh, well, I was just going to say, in terms of if people want to get a feel for, like, so it's hard to, it really, it's hard to explain the warm, that practical application of what we do in a warm up. So I guess, like, do we have any sample fucking warm ups that we've put together? Because it's kind of our own unique tongue, to be honest with you, Matt. And it's hard to explain if you haven't experienced at a seminar.
Mm-hmm. We'll hunt it down. If we don't got it, we can create it.
Yeah. Anyways, yeah. What we'll do is we'll figure out a way to get you like some examples. So coaches, no, that's not going to work.
Unlocking
don't listen
your
to me.
Power.
sorry, go ahead. I think we buttoned that
yeah,
one up, didn't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, absolutely. My third so what, my third takeaway here is I'm obsessed with your pyramid. And I think that affiliate owner listening to this, our takeaway from that pyramid is not necessarily, while yes, the principles in that pyramid are insanely important, even more important is that you and your coaches and your staff and your entire community have a pyramid. Like, you should be able to recite that. Just you guys, I could just see it in your head. You visualize this pyramid. You guys circle the wagon around these principles. All of Power Athlete HQ is familiar with the importance of this thing. You need that.
Yeah,
in your gym.
It's like we finish each other's
sandwiches.
So I think that's my third. So what from this episode has been. This pyramid is amazing. Use it. I think it is the optimal way to train all athletes. But secondly, I think you as an affiliate need something like this to where you can prioritize and sort of circle the wagon on your principles.
Mm-hmm. Without a doubt, it gives you common language. It's just common language, common emotion, common goal. And when you have that commonality, you're unstoppable, man. It's that, you know, for any... I guess a sports analogy, it's the perfect timing on the perfect play in, let's say, football, right? That it's truly unstoppable. So that's how you create an unstoppable workforce. Mm.
Good stuff, guys. So we can find you guys, powerathletehq.com, Power Athlete Radio as well. So
Yeah.
Subscribe there, listeners, if you want to hear a little bit more. For listeners that are not subscribers to Power Athlete Radio, what are our first couple episodes we need to listen to?
209. That's just Luke and I. And if you can make it through all 2.5 hours of that origin story, then start working your way backwards. Well, Dr. Fred Hatfield, who I guess is 208.
I guess we'll just toot our own horn here, Matt. We got like a pretty legit array of guests, a really, really impressive Rolodex of guests out there. It's truly hard to say, but on powerathletehq.com/radio, I've outlined a couple like of our most downloaded episodes on there, but definitely 209 selfishly. If you want to get to know more about us and why the fuck we're even doing what we're doing, or hey, maybe you want to be like, oh, I want to be like Luke and Tex someday. I'll follow in their footsteps. Not recommended.
Yep. We had a pretty epic, I mean, Chris Bell, we just finished up with Brett Bartholomew. So that's coming out soon. He's the author of Conscious Coach, and array Rob Wolf a couple times.
Yeah. And then Sherry Ma, who's a sleep guru. I mean, that's one thing every fucking gym owner truly lacks, or, you know, I don't know how to phrase it, Matt, because I, listen, people, I've done it. I've done the 6 a.m. and then the 8 p.m. class, and like then you have to eat after that. But if you can, she kind of learned, you learn the priorities of sleep, right? And then if you're a sleep guy, Sherry, and then Parsley's up been on. Who are some heavy hitters? We've got Dr. Kenneth Ford, who's the
NASA
technical advisor, who's big on keto. So we had like a stint of keto. If you're into the keto, we had who else? Fucking the director of Airplane.
Wow.
Who does Charlie's Foundation, the Charlie Fund? Anyways, so we had a keto stint. You know, basically what happens. Here's what happens. Let me tell you what's the story. So John's 10-year NFL veteran. I don't know if you guys have ever worked with NFL or former NFL athletes or professional athletes, but they truly have the attention span of a house cat, right? So if they get their if their focus is fixated on something, and this is what made them great athletes, they go fucking, I guess what we like to call balls deep. And so John went on a keto binge, and we got everybody we knew about, like Dr. Mauro Di Pasquale, Charlie's Foundation, Jim Abrahams, Ken Ford, and these guys are all kind of experts in their field who also have gone balls deep on keto, and we talked about that. We talk about movement. It's always nice to have Rob on. Rob's a close friend of ours when it comes to nutrition. So the podcast bounces back and forth between just kind of like a bar stool approach to talking about training, but not nearly as crass or funny, but nonetheless, it's interesting. So there's a long answer to an easy question.
Yeah. A lot of, I guess we had a lot of college strength and conditioning coaches stints for a while.
Yeah. So if you want to get in the mindset of a Ron McKeefrey or, take it Tex,
Jim Carizzi out of Kennesaw State's doing awesome things. Stacey Torman, and we got more coming up. Double A Aaron Osmus, who's now with Sorenex.
Right.
And I mean, again, all of the people we're connecting with, they're also open to passionate people. So if you're a young coach looking for an internship, a lot of the people that we communicated with, they're always looking for good hands and good help. So
there you go.
Opportunity to learn is everywhere.
Hell yeah, guys. Well, speaking of episode 209, origin story, good luck with that spider in there.
Yeah, beautiful, Matt. Thanks,
all right,
bro.
Guys.
Yes,
so
sir. Thank you very
Tex
much.
Tex and Luke from PowerAthleteHQ.com, Power Athlete Radio. Guys, enjoy the rest of your week, and thanks for coming on.
Sir, thank you.
Likewise.
All right, I'd like to extend a huge thank you to Tex and Luke from Power Athlete for coming on for these last 2 weeks. Those guys really brought it and were super generous with their time. As I mentioned at the beginning of the show, we're going to start doing a new Q&A. At the end of every show. So if you guys have any questions, feel free to shoot me an email, matt@321goproject.com. Or if we've been in touch in the past, by all means, let me know. So this Q&A is brought to you by our M3 Mastermind groups. M3 stands for Momentum Mastermind. And these are small groups of gym owners that meet with a business coach on a weekly basis, a small group of 4 to 6 people. And really, this is a great opportunity to get questions like this answered from not only a business coach, but also other gym owners that may have been there before. The cool thing about these groups is that There may be one member of the group that is just a social media rock star. Somebody else is awesome at creating standard operating procedures. But they all really balance each other out, and we have some pretty strict intake data that we take from every member of a Momentum Mastermind to ensure that everybody is able to contribute to these groups. So this week's Q&A is brought to you by M3. So if you want to find out more, go to 321goproject.com/M3. Here's this week's question. I currently have a member who wants to open her own yoga studio in the adjoining unit next door, and I've heard from a few of my members that she plans to also include her own functional fitness class. So the question is, I'll dig in here a little bit more. My lease contract has me locked in for another 2 years. So as I look at this from a business and long-term perspective, I can't help but feel concerned that this may be a conflict of interest. Does this sound like something I should be worried about as a threat to my business? And if so, how can I go about handling this professionally? If it ends up that she's only providing yoga and not functional fitness classes, could this affect me at all? So this is a great question and one that comes up all the time. So I'll unpack it just a little bit. Let's take it from the competition standpoint. So is this person, because they provide a very similar product to mine, viewed as competition? I've always taken the perspective as far as competition goes that much like a bar, you know, they always talk about if somebody's going to open up a bar, where do you want to put your bar? You want it to be in around other bars right across the street from it. So what you've done is you've created a geographical location where your ideal customers gravitate toward. So if you think about it this way, you know, let's say that your gym is on, you know, First and Main Street in your town, right? So there's one person at First and Main right now telling everybody, hey, come down here for fitness. Well, now what if we put up another sort of tangential fitness offering? Now you have two people saying, hey, come to First and Main for fitness. Add a third one in there. Again, a tangential offering. So in this case, we have a yoga studio, potentially a sort of high intensity interval training, boot campy kind of thing, and then a CrossFit affiliate, all in the same area. I personally think that this is a benefit because now you have three types of people that would all be an ideal client type for each other. And now you have three businesses that are saying, hey, come down to First and Main for your fitness and health needs. So I would actually approach this not necessarily as a threat or competition, but a really good opportunity for a business partnership. So if you're listening to this, you probably own a gym and you know that it is really difficult to, you know, get your message out there to your city to, you know, to have a good marketing campaign. It's, you know, that seems to be the magic bullet that everybody is after. How do I get more members? How do I get more people paying attention to what I'm doing? Well, you're not the only one that has that problem. Everybody else that owns a small business and a micro gym, they also have those same problems. So I think that if you could figure out a way to work together on things, that this could actually be a really beneficial partnership for all parties involved. I know absolutely I would love to have some sort of yoga offering because it's a really complementary offering to what I do in CrossFit. As far as like your HIIT boot camp type things, I think that's a great introduction into CrossFit. So here you have somebody else helping you educate the market on what it means to take a high-intensity exercise class. And then you can pivot against that product to sort of show the benefits of what you do at CrossFit. So another example that I always use in this is when it comes to luxury automobiles, right? So let's just take BMW as a luxury automobile. If there were not a value automobile, so if there was no Honda Civic in the marketplace, there would be no BMW, because BMW has nothing to pivot against. If every car was the exact same luxury level and price as BMW, it no longer has status. So you need to have different products in the marketplace in order to pivot your product against, right? So as a CrossFit affiliate, you're able to pivot against a Globo Gym. You're able to pivot against Orange Theory. You're able to pivot against yoga. And I'm not saying that you need to bash these other things to raise up your product, but it's a way for you to educate people on what you do. So let's say that somebody has been going to sort of the same high-intensity boot camp where you've got your same battle ropes, and then you go over and do some really lightweight Russian kettlebell swings, and then maybe you do some squats. And somebody's been doing that for a year. That could potentially, without having the ability to have a higher skill acquisition movements, that could potentially get boring for that person. So then you have this opportunity now to have a conversation of, hey, are you bored with the same old boot camp routine? Come in here. We'll teach you how to do fun stuff with barbells and gymnastics rings, and we'll teach you some, you know, higher level skills if you're ready to take this thing to the next level. So I see it, and thank you for the question, but I see this as a great partnership opportunity. I think it's a great way for you guys to refer clients to each other, to come into each other's gyms and do workshops. I think you should absolutely have some kind of reciprocal yoga offering. And I think having two people marketing a fitness in a geographical location is an absolute positive thing. If you can have, you know, same is true with like a grocery store and a coffee shop and an ice cream place. Like, all of these people are traveling to a geographical location to do a certain thing. And so having other people in your vicinity that are marketing to your ideal clients and saying, hey, come down here for fitness, that is a benefit. Because now there's two voices saying that, hey, this is a location where fitness happens. And I see that as a good thing. So as long as your processes are really dialed in, you really understand your why, you're creating some really compelling marketing content, you're telling your members stories, you have awesome follow-up, you have a clean, professional-looking gym, I think that that this is a benefit. You know, and if you don't have all those processes dialed in right now, this is good incentive to get those things dialed in so that once all of these people come down to this geographical location for some fitness, yours is the better of the two options. Hope that answers your question. Again, this Q&A was brought to you by our Momentum Mastermind groups. If you're interested in being a part of a group and having discussions like this with other successful gym owners, go to 321goproject.com/M3 to learn more. We'll see you next week.